Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Jungle is a 1906 muckraking novel by Upton Sinclair that combines social protest, realism, and political critique. Set in the Chicago stockyards, it follows Jurgis Rutkus, a Lithuanian immigrant whose hopes for a better life in America collapse under the pressure of poverty, exploitation, illness, and corruption. Sinclair wrote the book after firsthand research in the meatpacking industry. And its fictional narrative is designed to expose the brutal realities of industrial labor and urban poverty. Although readers often remember the novel for its shocking depiction of unsanitary food production, its deeper purpose is to show how economic systems can crush workers, families, and moral stability. The book became one of the most influential examples of American reform literature and played a major role in public awareness of labor abuses and food safety reform. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a novelist uses industrial Chicago to expose the human cost of capitalism. At the center of The Jungle is a sustained critique of a profit-driven economic system that treats labor as expendable and people as replaceable. Sinclair does not portray exploitation as an isolated abuse by a few bad employers. Instead, he shows a whole environment in which wages, housing, hiring, and production all work together to drain workers of security and dignity. Jurgis and his family arrive with trust in hard work and upward mobility, but the novel repeatedly demonstrates that effort alone cannot protect them from structural exploitation. Injuries, layoffs, and seasonal instability quickly reveal how little power workers have in an industrial system organized around profit margins. This is what gives the book its lasting force. It is not just an account of one family's misfortune, but a study of how economic arrangements can create misery, even for those who follow the rules and labor honestly. Secondly, immigrant hope collides with the reality of urban precarity. The novel is also a powerful study of immigration and the gap between expectation and reality. Jurgis Rutkus and his family come to the United States believing in the common promise of opportunity, but the city they enter is hostile, confusing, and exploitative. Sinclair captures the disorientation of newcomers who lack language fluency, financial protection, and social leverage, making them vulnerable to dishonest employers, predatory landlords, and corrupt officials. The family's experience shows that immigration is not only a cultural transition, but also an economic risk when institutions are indifferent or hostile. The novel does not romanticize immigrant life or reduce it to victimhood. Instead, it shows resilience, family loyalty, and determination under extreme pressure. At the same time, it makes clear that those qualities are not enough when the surrounding system is built to absorb and discard laborers. This tension between aspiration and collapse is one of the book's most important structural ideas. Thirdly, the meatpacking industry as a symbol of dehumanization and public danger. Sinclair's most famous material concerns the meatpacking plants themselves, where the industrial process becomes a symbol of bodily and moral decay. The novel presents factory work as repetitive, exhausting, and physically destructive, while also exposing the unsanitary conditions under which food is processed. The importance of these scenes lies not only in their shock value, but in the way they connect worker abuse to consumer vulnerability. Sinclair argues that the same system that wounds laborers also endangers the public, because a culture of profit without oversight devalues truth, cleanliness, and accountability. The meatpacking setting therefore works on two levels. It is a workplace where human beings are broken down, and it is an example of how industrial secrecy can hide risks from ordinary citizens. This dual focus helped make the novel historically influential, because it translated social reform into a matter of public health as well as labor justice. Fourthly, corruption in business, politics, and institutions blocks any real path to justice. A major dimension of The Jungle is its insistence that exploitation is sustained by connected systems rather than by industry alone. Sinclair depicts employers, politicians, courts, police, and city institutions as part of a network that protects power and leaves poor workers with few meaningful remedies. When Jurgis tries to survive through legal or civic channels, those channels repeatedly fail him or are revealed as inaccessible to people without money or influence. This matters because the novel is not simply angry about working conditions. It is skeptical about whether existing institutions can correct abuses when they are entangled with the same interests they are supposed to regulate. The result is a grim picture of social mobility and legal justice as myths for the poor. Sinclair's criticism extends beyond one industry into the broader machinery of urban capitalism, where corruption, bribery, and indifference normalize suffering. That systemic view is one reason the book remains relevant in discussions of corporate influence and regulatory failure. Lastly, the novel shifts from family realism to socialist argument in its final movement. The Jungle is unusual because it changes emphasis as it moves forward, beginning as a family-centered realist novel and ending with a more explicit socialist argument. Many readers notice that the later sections become more ideological, But this shift is deliberate and central to Sinclair's purpose. After showing repeated breakdowns of work, family life, health, and civic trust, Sinclair turns toward collective political solutions because individual survival no longer seems possible within the existing order. The novel therefore operates both as narrative and argument. It first demonstrates the failure of personal effort under capitalism, then suggests socialism as an alternative framework for dignity and justice. Whether readers find this persuasive or heavy-handed, the structural choice is important because it reveals Sinclair's method. He is not aiming for detached literary complexity alone. He is constructing a reform text meant to move readers from pity to political awareness. That combination of storytelling and advocacy is what distinguishes the book from a conventional social novel. In conclusion, The Jungle is best suited for readers interested in American history, labor politics, immigration, social reform, and the origins of investigative fiction. It is especially valuable for students and general readers who want to understand how literature can influence public debate and government action. The book offers more than a historical snapshot of early 20th century Chicago. It shows how industrial systems shape health, family life, and moral choices, and why reform becomes necessary when institutions fail the vulnerable. Compared with many classic novels, it stands out because its purpose is openly interventionist. Sinclair is not merely observing social conditions. He is building a case against exploitation and using fiction to press for change. Even when readers are skeptical of its socialist conclusions or its sometimes one-dimensional character design, the novel remains important for the clarity of its outrage and the force of its documentation. Its lasting value lies in the rare combination of narrative immediacy, reformist intent, and historical impact. Few books have influenced both literary history and public policy so directly. If you would like to support Upton Sinclair, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.